The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network, live from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. What's happening?
Not much, man.
Microphone? Microphone check?
Yeah, I hit the wrong
button. There you go.
Hit the wrong button.
Wheels of steel. You got to get used to it again.
That's right, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What a blowout last night, huh?
Yeah,
what
you know.
Boring football game.
Not exactly excitement. But, you know, football on the show today. We'll talk about the Niners and the Giants briefly. There's not much to say. I said yesterday on the show, I don't know who's going to cover because this point spread was big. I didn't have a bet on it, ultimately, pre-flop ATS. But you couldn't really make a case for the Giants, right? With all the injuries, Saquon being out, the fact that the Niners dominate opposing rushers anyway. Niners get it done, ho-hum, 30-12. We'll talk to Matt Brown about all things Week 3 National Football League, which is what we do here on Fridays, and college football with Dr. Bob and Chris Felica, the Bear,
boom,
from Fox Sports. We'll do that. And I guess a little Jason Weingarten later. Am I allowed to do just a dash of baseball before we dive into all the football stuff?
Sure.
Because I don't know if you've gotten all this this sort of buzz off air about folks who are like, oh, boy, I don't know. Padres still can make the playoffs.
Wait, what are you talking about, buzz off air? It's my running joke on here now
on
because
here.
We've been talking about it since what, May? I feel like in late May, we were like, whoa, are the Padres too far out? Is this a good price to get them to make the playoffs? People have been talking about this for 3 months.
Right, but the fact of the matter is that they're still talking about it with 10 days left in the Major League Baseball season, and most teams have 9 games left. So I just wanted to put in perspective, because yesterday when we talked about this, the Padres weren't even available to bet to make the playoffs at DraftKings. Today they are. They're the same price as the Giants. Both teams are sub-500 now. Both teams are 30-1. And in the Padres' case, people always go to, yeah, but their schedule's so easy. Like, they could go 9-0. Okay, let's play, just to put it in perspective. If the Padres go 9-0, here's what also has to happen. The Cubs, who can seemingly beat no one at this point, they can do no better than 4-5. Even after dropping 10 of their last 13, they can do no better than 4-5. The Marlins can do no better than 5-4. Padres have the tiebreaker over the Marlins. They do not over the Cubs. And the Reds can do no better than 5-3. So again, in the scenario where the Padres go 9-0, can't lose a game. If they go 8-1, then you have to tick all those down a game from what I just said. But let's say, just to make it easy, they go 9-0. Cubs can do no better than 4-5. Marlins can do no better than 5-4. Reds can do no better than 5-3. All of those things must happen. By the way, that would take care of the Giants as well, because the Padres play them 3 times. If you wanted to look at it from a Giants perspective, it's almost equally as ridiculous. They're also 30-1. Instead of saying in that scenario, if Padres go 9-0, you'd have to say if Giants go 8-1, then all of those other things must happen. So that then segues to the conversation. Okay, I get it. The Padres are still a massive long shot, and maybe 30-1 actually doesn't represent value. What then is the best baseball bet on the board here with 10 days left in the season to make a playoffs, to win a division? The only conclusion, Kelly, just moving back all opinion from it, like just taking yourself out of the equation, is the fact that the Rangers and Mariners still play each other 6 times. And because they still play each other 6 times, one has to assume, you know what to say about assuming, that you could make yourself look foolish.
A donkey.
And another person
out of me and you.
I believe is what that
means.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Because the Mariners and Rangers play each other 6 times, one has to assume that there will be some sort of split, most likely 4-2, 2-4, if not 3-3. You can't assume a 5-1 or a 6-0. And so because of that, the Astros to win, not to make the playoffs because they're -900, but to win the division, is still the best single bet on the baseball board. You can get them at DraftKings at -110 still to win the division. Astros have a 3-game set here against the Royals. They ought to be able to go a long way towards that by the end of the weekend. So that's still the best. I know with Circa here behind us, it's -120. I would still play that as well. That's the best single baseball bet on the board, not the Padres to make the playoffs. So anyway, that's your baseball moment.
That's the bet that I've been talking about making for like 2 months and never made.
Well,
I'm
just saying it's been plus money. We've talked about it here on the show. We as long ago as a month ago, we said Astros are going to win this division, bet at plus money. But now, just with this runway, it's still the best bet.
Yeah.
Still the best
bet. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it like a week ago, and it was plus 110, 120, mm-hmm. something like that. And we were talking, we should make this bet now.
Yep. Still the best bet. Padres, again, have a lot of work to do. Okay, football. Last night, the Niners take care of the Giants, and they do it in convincing fashion, as they say. 1 point would have convinced me, but still, they do it going away 30-12. Just real quick, can I show the Will Hill bet? I don't know if you saw this on Twitter or on X, what the kids are calling it these days. Will Hill had some kind of bonus. Will Hill, who's, of course, a frequent guest on this network, only on this show, also.
It's actually Will Hill made this bet.
Co-host of the Megapod. Oh, this is a real bet. Yeah. So Will Hill and Action Network picked this up at everybody. He had a boost of some kind, so he used it on an exact score last night. Do you know what he had the exact score as? This was...
So the exact score was...
I'm not asking you. Do you,
the bet.
The exact score was 30-12. Will guessed, not guessed, he bet, kind of a guess, but he bet at 180-1, 30-13, as opposed to 30-12. Figuring, well, the Giants aren't going to score many points, so it limits the number of outcomes for the Giants. And at 17-6, the Giants scored to make it 17-12. And then instead of kicking the extra point, they decided to go for two to cut it to three.
Right.
Which even at that point in the game is probably still the right football play.
Yeah. I didn't think twice about it when they did it. I think some people might say maybe it was too early, but you're a Giants team that doesn't have much offense. I think you got to go for it
there. Yeah. What did that tweet say? Because that went beyond Will's bet specifically. Will bet $25 at 180-1 to win $4,500.
Yeah, we don't have the picture.
So he missed for a point. But the Giants went for two instead of kicking the extra point, keeping this better 1 point away from winning. Oh, yeah, they're referring to Will's.
Yeah.
That's Will Hill specifically.
Yeah, and it was a $25 bet, but it would have paid out $4,500.
$4,500, 180-1. Anyway.
This poor guy didn't know Will made the bet when you sent this to me. I thought this was another, like, Gold Boys thing.
No, it was Will. As well. Now the Gold Boys people are like, I'm only pumping up JD and I'm killing Will.
I was going to say, this is like our guy Will can't catch a break, man, with hitting any of these bets.
No, he said he only usually does this during the Super Bowl, but he had this boost, so he figured he'd be with the Giants having suppressed points probably last night. He took a shot at it, almost got there.
I don't mind. Standalone games like that,
yeah.
I had a couple like long shot same game parlays. One of them got home, like it's the same kind of thing.
It's not like he bet a dime, he bet $25
right,
on it.
Right.
As far as that game last night, it was pretty much, you know, exactly what you thought. That maybe you thought the Giants hung a little longer than they might have in that 30-12 loss. You know, Brock Purdy, the only thing that does leap to mind here, and I'm a Niners guy, Brock Purdy now 10-0 in games in which he has started and finished. He ends up throwing for 310 yards in this ballgame, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And you know, if you're looking for things to pick at, and of course we always are, it's what Todd Wishnev dubbed as itches on the Megapod, ITSH, the acronym for interceptions that should have happened, or as they say on Pro Football Focus, they actually have a metric for this, which is called turnover-worthy plays. Turnover-worthy plays. And, you know, all through the 7-0 run last year for Brock Purdy into the postseason, he was doing these things where he would like throw balls off, you know, defenders' chest and somehow they wouldn't catch it. Last night, that very first drive of the game where the Niners went up, Purdy not once but twice does this. The first one was this play where he was, I guess the pass was intended for George Kittle. Kittle was certainly the D-back on the play. Adoree Jackson was just sitting out there. He could have fair caught the ball. Yeah. And if you watch the replay, it's as if Adoree Jackson is the receiver and Kittle is the defender.
And Kittle makes an amazing play
on it. And then subsequently in the end zone, a play that Debo had to break up for Brock Purdy. So
those have been the problems the first few
always
weeks,
been
right?
The problem.
And always been the problems. But,
that's nitpicky because the people who, because we talked about it this week, you know, Brock Purdy, 22-1 to win MVP. And a lot of people are like, oh, come on. But here, again, the rationale, the path for that is that he's going to play on this team that's going to win 14 or 15 ball games. Let's just say, right? 14-3, let's say conservatively. If he keeps putting out games like this where the mistakes don't happen, it's sort of like that Blake Snell thing we were talking about.
Sure,
Cy Young.
You're right. Yeah, good call.
The other guys are probably better than you, meaning Strider's probably better than you, and these other quarterbacks are probably better than you. But if you, if the implosion that you're supposed to have never happens ultimately, you're ultimately the guy.
Right.
Because the other guys, it never, it's not going to work out for them for whatever reason. In the case of Strider, it's these implosions that happen every four starts. In the case of the NFL, it's Justin Herbert's 0-2. Patrick Mahomes, there's fatigue on. Josh Allen had a terrible game, game one. Like, you could go on guy for guy, and there's always a, Tua, can he stay healthy? Your favorite thing in the world, right? Yeah. So that's sort of the comparison I'd make.
And I think with Purdy, it's the, it's the, okay, we're seeing this, and we always talk about it, being too close to the sun, and whether it's betting or just NFL in general, right? We watch this every week and want to, want to pick apart his game for like, well, he could have had a couple big throws there, but he didn't. But at the end of the day, when these voters look back, it, like, they're all they're going to be looking at is box scores and numbers. And his box score yesterday still looks really damn good compared to what you normally see in a week in the NFL. So it's, I think every week we can sit here and be like, oh, they could have had another six there. Or they, that could happen, or an interception could have, but it didn't. And they still win 30-12. And he completes, what, 25 passes for 310 yards and two touchdowns.
Congratulations to those who had the Niners in a Survivor. You get through. Wasn't without its angst a little bit, I guess, for a little while there, but not really in the scheme of things. Niners go to 3-0 to start week three in the NFL, and it only gets easier for them because they get the Arizona Cardinals at home next week. So good for them. And the Giants, they fall to 1-2. This is not quite a Jets-like gauntlet, but it's going to be tough for them this season. I've got the alternate season win total under. They are hosting the Seattle Seahawks, but they will have extra rest, of course, in week number four. We come back, Matt Brown, nothing but football, NFL week three, with Matt on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by the Bar Canada here at the D downtown. Don't forget to get 10% off your VSiN annual prescription. We're having a little contest here, Kelly, though, show by show. Promo code is ANG. Promo code ANG. And really, the details of this are...
Or I guess the handle, if you like other people better than us, you know, it's fine.
Oh, you could do it that way, too. That's true. That's true.
Your mic's all still off. You're not allowed to talk yet.
Here's the deal. You put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season. You start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Maybe we should coax them into this. Sign up now. Save 10% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you use that promo code ANG. That's daily best bets. That's betting splits. That's everything we do. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. Remember to use promo code ANG to save 10% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's the long and short of it. But if you put ANG in, you know, great things will happen to Kelly Bidlin. Great things will happen to Kelly Bidlin.
That's what I was told. Yeah. I was told you're going to personally give me $1,000.
Yes.
In $5 bills.
Let's say that.
That's what it is.
In $5 bills.
In $5 bills.
That's what's going to happen.
I want them counted out in front of me.
A-N-G. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday. We are blessed. We are honored. We are privileged to have this gentleman on with us each and every Friday for not one, not two, but three segments. He is Matt Brown. He is the host of The Handle. He is the host that is on our network. He's the host of several podcasts, Long Shots, of course, being one of them. And of course, now he's got multiple pods. All Angles, is that the name of the podcast? Angles is the new podcast, which he does with Mike Somich. You dominate podcast promotion here on the network. Are you familiar with that?
I'm actually solo on All Angles. It is just me talking.
All Angles.
Just talking into a microphone by myself. People have to listen to me for an extended period of time.
Somich is on The Handle, is what I mean. Right. How's his Achilles doing? He's okay?
Walking with a boot now.
Okay.
No longer crutched up. So that's a pretty good
thing. Well, that's good.
We are the network of Achilles injuries.
So here's the thing. So you guys obviously have a giant advantage in this whole little contest thing that we're doing because, you know, you have five shows a week to my two. So how about this? I'll push ANG promo code during my show. And then like y'all give me like 10% of the thing.
So oh, that sound, I see what sound you're good? I see what you're doing.
Sound good? Sound good? I don't care. I don't want who cares, like, what code they use? I mean, whatever, just sign up. It doesn't matter. I don't care. It's good for us in general. But I'll push your code, and then I'll take
Friends supporting friends. Yeah. I like it.
There we go.
Hopefully we could do more.
We'll just keep this between us and no one on the other side. Yeah, it'll be great.
Hey, real quick, field goal thing is happening next week. Kelly's got a spot. It's happening.
We're doing it. Soon. I might be...
Date TBD.
TBD.
Oh, no.
But we're doing it. The spot, though, I checked out the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the spot is not that far
from... It's close to you.
From where I live, I went and checked the spot. Prime spot.
Right.
Okay.
Great location,
There is, like, actual turf.
I know. I told you I was taking...
Guys, is there a date or is there not a date? No date?
Okay. The week after the week that he said that it was going to be.
No date.
Okay.
Yes. We can't string people along any further. It's just
We have the date. It is the day. It is the Friday after.
Assuming my production team can now handle it. And yes, that's what I'm referring to Dakota as, my production team.
Mateo Brown, everybody. He passionately gave the speech for the Cincinnati Bengals last week.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
No.
Burrow's not okay, is he?
No, and that was the takeaway exactly from that game, and now we're seeing it play out this week, right? I mean, we didn't have a really good data point from the week before because of all that weather and everything that was going on, so you kind of like took that and you just pushed it aside, and you're like, okay, benefit of the doubt, the Browns looked terrible as well on offense, like nothing worked in that game, rain, whatever, you couldn't see, couldn't hold on the ball. Now we have a real data point, which is like, no, he's hurt. You could see multiple times, not pushing off on that leg, not even wanting to really... it'd be a couple different things that Burrow does that makes him Burrow, right? It's like he's like sneaky slippery, right? Like he can kind of maneuver that pocket to extend plays just a little bit longer and get those guys to free up down the field. He can't do any of that anymore. And listen, this is a big downgrade for me on this team in general, because if Joe Burrow's not Joe Burrow out there, then this team is not as good nearly as we thought, right? I mean, it's not one of those teams. I heard you guys talking about the 49ers as I walked up, and it's just one of those things where I don't think it's going to matter whether Brock Purdy is good or not. Like, the debate will go on forever. Like, the debate will go on forever, right? I mean, like, it's... I don't necessarily think he's all that good, but I don't think it matters. So my opinion, whether he's good or not, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. He's got to have a quality start.
Yeah.
Not to keep making baseball, but that's all he has to do every time, right?
Yeah.
Just go out there and be serviceable.
Yeah, go 6 innings, 3 earned is fine.
Yeah,
6 innings, 3 earned is fine, and you're good to go. But yeah, on the Burrow side of things, I bumped them way down in my power ratings this week, because you look and where they're going to have to go with all this, which, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this morning, Patriots sneaky signed Will Greer off of their practice squad. So, like, I don't know if that was like your quarterback's hurt and we're going to go ahead and whatever. So the Patriots signed Will Greer off. So now, as they sit right now, they've only got two quarterbacks, and so they're going to have to go sign a third one somewhere along the way. So it's a bad situation over there for them.
Always thinking that Bill Belichick, if in fact that's what he's doing. Okay, what team are you going to make a similarly passionate speech about today? Obviously, the Bengals getting beat by the Ravens last week by 3 in the end, 27-24. A game in which they were always sort of one score behind.
Yeah, it was the score wasn't necessarily indicative of how that one went down.
And they never saw the ball for like the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it was this week. I don't think it's actually a super awesome betting week, really. Whenever you look at the games up and down, I mean,
a lot of big spreads.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most passionate case I probably would have made for the week last night was just the team total on the 49ers. I think that probably would have been the biggest, more passionate thing that I did because of that Giants defense that they're rolling out there. I have a couple of bets in here, but it is not like one of those weeks where I'm sitting here, oh, this is definitely it, you know, 100%, like I'm going to make a super passionate case. What I will say, I think, though, for the I do want to go back to the Giants for just a second. They have played two legitimate Super Bowl contenders in the first 3 games, mm-hmm. right? I mean, now you can go back to the game where they had to come back and win against the Cardinals, which we all think is going to be the worst team in the NFL. But if you want to, if you're a Giants backer out there, and if you want to have some sort of silver lining to anything that's going on,
that's the silver.
The Cowboys are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. The 49ers are legitimate Super Bowl contenders, right? So, I mean, getting beat down by two teams that are likely to be there at the very end when this is all said and done, not the worst thing in the world, right? I mean,
and if you give yourself the truth serum test, right? If you're a Giants fan or a Giants backer, what did you really think the chances are of you being 1-2 through 3 games?
Probably
right?
Very high.
Probably very high. Yeah. No matter how it got done, you probably thought there was a really good chance of that happening.
Well, I bring up the home game against Seattle next week. That'll be a better barometer,
right?
For sure.
No, for sure. Yeah. With all that, and I mean, listen, it was a game in which you're short week kind of trying to figure out how to redo an offense without Saquon Barkley, your biggest playmaker. So there are different things that you can take from last night with the Giants and say, like, okay, you got killed by a team that's likely to be there at the very end. You lose your best playmaker, all kinds of different little things. And they held their ground for a couple of quarters. Yeah. Right? So there is all that. I think from a macro standpoint, though, Gil, the team that I'm definitely most interested in, I think, is the Miami Dolphins. And this isn't even necessarily from a week three betting standpoint, but just a let's rise up, look at this from a holistic view here. And you see this offense, if they can stay healthy, and as soon as I say that, of course, we have Jalen Waddle, who's going through the concussion protocol, but at least it's not an injury that, you know, a hamstring or an ankle or something that can linger forever. But you look at this Dolphins team, their defense, like you were talking about the quality start from a Brock Purdy type deal, like their defense basically only has to go out and give a quality start because I think they can outscore just about anybody in the NFL, right? So as long as the defense doesn't go out and give up 35,
yeah,
they're going to be in just about every single game.
Against the Chargers, they just had to show up at the end for one series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like they're going to be able to go out with Tyreek, with those playmakers, with Tua, and people can trash talk Tua all they want to, but the proof is in the pudding. When that guy's out there and he's got both of those guys on the field, they are ridiculously good.
By the way, Matt understands that concussions can linger too. Let's save the tweets on that. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Yes. The hamstring that, like, the guy runs two routes and then, oh, never mind, he's back out. Yeah, he's back on the sideline type deal.
So, but you made a point to say not necessarily this week. Does that mean that you're not laying the number with the Dolphins against the Broncos?
Yeah, I didn't do that. I did take a different angle in this one, and I took Tua over the 262.5 passing yards. And this is more of a if you look at it, even with Waddle being out, right, even if Waddle doesn't go in this game, I think that the number got depressed just a tad. I mean, what we're seeing in this Dolphins team, it doesn't matter. They just want to pass. They're going to pass. They're going to throw all over the place, too. He's not afraid to throw it down the field against anybody. He's going to do that. Yeah, the occasional underthrow, but a lot of times he's connecting with the guys out there. And the other thing that I really like about McDaniel is he's so creative with being able to get the ball in these people's hands, right? And so I think he knew he had a full week to prepare that he's likely going to be without Waddle in this. So he's going to have a game plan in order to get things going. And boy, was I wrong heading into the season where I was like, well, if there's one thing that at least the Broncos can hang their hat on is that defense, right? You know, it's like Russell Wilson might be washed, but they've at least got that defense. I'm like, nah, not so far. They don't. I mean, that's not small sample size. I get it, but the defense has not shown up so far.
No. No, absolutely not. Of all the bets that I have, and we'll show mine after, and we'll get to your best bets here after the break, but of all the ones that I've made, and some of these go back to the first reaction on guessing lines on Monday, for some reason, playing the Dolphins and laying the points now, I'm a little, like, I don't love my bet anymore. Like, I wish I hadn't made it. And I don't know what that is, but that's a spider sense on that. Just because, again, no team looks as bad as they do one week and as good as they do the previous.
It's also a weird one of, like, that number hasn't moved all week.
All week.
Right? Which, like, I don't know why that scares me a little bit, but it does.
We'll get to all of our best bets on the other side. Numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking to be a better bettor? Of course you are. Tens of thousands of people have already turned to Juice Reel. That's Juice, R-E-E-L, in the App Store. Juice Reel is not a sports book. It's a tool to help you beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts into one app, loads all your betting history, and gives you an analytical edge. That's an analytical edge backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors in all 50 states. Use that data to follow the winners and fade the losers. Don't place another bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool, Juice Reel. That's juice like prune juice, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free. Download Juice Reel to your iPhone or Android device today and become a better, like apple juice, like orange juice. You get the idea.
Proud sponsor of Hardwood Handicappers last year.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're coming back.
All right. Nice.
Hopefully. We'd like to have you back, Juice Reel.
any other podcast you want to promote, Matt? Anything while you're here? Because it just doesn't get enough.
No, we're good to go. I don't know if you know or not. There's a golf one wherever podcasts are listened to.
Oh, shit.
Yes. There's also an NFL one wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All
available. Free downloads. Yeah, for both.
Okay. Your favorite bet this week is. Oh, that's not a good start. See, that's not a good start already.
I know, right?
So I guess like the favorite one is just because, you know, I have a line that's so completely stale that, you know, but I mean, I have a Rams +6.5 ticket, you know, but I mean, that's not relevant to people today. I mean, as we're sitting here, this line has moved, you know, all the way to 3. think that's still a little bit more appropriate when it comes down to it. But I think that this Rams team is just good enough with a Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals to like kind of keep it fairly interesting. So I think that that is at least in there. I guess the only other bet that I have straight is Bills and the Commanders. And I have the Bills over the Commanders. That said, there's an injury report that has come out now that makes this less attractive, you know, in all of this. If you look at that Bills injury report, there are some pretty key dudes that are now on that injury report. And so I'm like, oh, man. As you were just talking about a little bit earlier, where you're saying, like, I don't know if I love this bet as much as I do anymore. Like, kind of the same thing for me. I thought that this one would get pretty close to a touchdown. It's only sitting 6.5 right now, so it's only moved a half a point. And I think a lot of that does have to do with the injury report that we're seeing come out with the Bills, which, by the way, is like this, you know, a million names long that includes James Cooks, that includes Jordan Poirier, includes Micah Hyde, like all these different guys that are on there. So
I also feel like, and I mentioned this on the Megapod yesterday, which is out, Beating the Book Megapod. Sorry about my audio yesterday. I'll fix that. Apologies. But I was sort of saying, like, the Bills and the Commanders, that this is the, oh, the Bills crushed the Raiders. They are who we thought they were. The Commanders, you know, came from a 21-3 deficit down to beat the Broncos. So you can almost, you know, in your head say, oh, the Bills are this. The Commanders are still this at the bottom, even though they're 2-0. And so here we have 6 points. But it is Washington at home. And now, I said this last week about them going into Denver. My comment was, having watched this team for decades, this franchise, even in the best of times, you go on a road trip to an unfamiliar AFC opponent, let alone in elevation, you'd never win this kind of game. By the way, when they were down 21-3, I'm like, I'm a genius, right?
Elevation or altitude?
And we're going to go elevation. By the way, frequent or frequent? Oh, I want to ask Matt Brown about this. Okay, so then you... So, and then they come back and they win, which is a game they never win. By the way, the fact that the flag wasn't thrown on the 2-point conversion, Washington never gets that. Like, what is it? Is this the post Daniel Snyder reality? This is unbelievable. So I feel like this is a game home against an AFC opponent like that, where they typically keep it close. Like, this feels like too much to me.
I think when I see the Bills, I think this is a team that I'm going to focus on them kind of like beating up on the lower tier teams, and I'm going to fade them on the like kind of upper tier teams when it comes to it. Because the big concern that I had coming into the year with the Bills and overall, and just one good game doesn't change that for me, especially against a lower tier opponent, is the fact that they don't have a true second option in the pass game, right? Like that, now that might end up being Dalton Kincaid down the line as he gets more games under his belt and figures out some ways to kind of help Josh Allen out. But it's really Steph Diggs. And if you look, that was a problem in week one going up against that Jets team in which, like, hey, he didn't trust getting the ball to Gabe Davis. Like, he didn't trust going elsewhere with the ball, and he's trying to force it to Steph Diggs, and it just wasn't going to work out. And I feel like if you get those type of defenses in there, that's always going to be the case with this Bills team, and I will be fading them left and right, right? Like, I think, but against the lower tier defenses, and certainly the ones that are a little bit that certainly on the corners that have like some suspect corners, I think they'll be okay. But I worry about them long term because of that, right? I mean, when you look at these teams that I think we all look at and think that is an elite team, you know, we're sitting here talking about the 49ers, and it's like, if they're not hitting you with McCaffrey, they're hitting you with Debo, and they're hitting you with Ayuk, and they're hitting you with Kittle, like all these different options across the board. You get to the Bills and you go, what's their options, right? It's Steph Diggs, and that's it. Like I said, maybe Dalton Kincaid works his way into that conversation, but I think they're okay against the lesser tier guys. I just don't think that they're going to get there really against the better ones. So I'll take it this week and back them in a situation like this, but I'm going to be fading the heck out of them against the upper tier defenses.
Yeah, you also, as we've seen, as we're looking at your bets here, got the super duper good favorable number on the Rams real quick there, plus 6.5.
Yeah, it was like 7.5, 7. By the time I could get to the app to get to this thing, then it was already at 6.5. So I didn't even get the very best of the number. Samich actually on air, because I have to. So you probably get this sometimes too. I have to do the reads and the whatever and all the things like that. So he's got a minute and a half.
Yeah, just
do whatever he wants to, right?
Yeah.
So he's sitting there like, I'm doing this like long read, and he's sitting there and he gets done. And he goes, I just got the Rams at 7.5. And I'm like, 7.5? And like, I'm going and I'm looking, and I see it's at 7, and I do like try to whatever, and then it clicks to say 6.5. So like, he had a full point on the other end with that. And I'm like, huh, cool. I'm glad you got that. As I was reading, you know, about by the way, I don't know if you know, we have betting splits over on the website.
So,
like,
you know, do we?
Yeah, yeah, oh, over, okay. Over on the website.
Brand
so,
new.
Yeah, going on over there. So anyway, yes, but 6.5 on that, and again, that's just that was strictly just a numbers play on an injury that I would think is going to be pretty bad for Joe Burrow. I mean, I was talking to a couple of different buddies of mine who are in the medical field, and they're like, listen, these calf things, and we talked about this even coming into the season, right?
They
we talked about it on the
linger.
Yeah, we talked about this in the on the Megapod in the preview was mm-hmm. Listen, yes, he can feel great one day and go out and then plant and throw, and then it just instantly comes back. And I'm not saying that's exactly what we saw in week two, but you could see pretty early on that calf was not right, and it was, and it only got worse over the course of the game. And I think this is going to be a deal that unless they decide to shut him down for 2 or 3 weeks, which, ugh,
yeah,
right, at 0-2, yeah.
At 0-2, that's an ick,
yeah,
as
like
you
a,
said.
Ugh,
yeah.
At 0-2, but unless they decide to do it, I mean, we're just going to have to be kind of rolling the dice as to what Joe Burrow we're going to get.
So he plays this week or doesn't play this week?
I do not think he plays this week.
Okay.
And, I do not
and
think
you don't
he
think
plays
he,
this
week.
He remains day-to-day, as they say.
But you don't think he's going to miss significant time?
I think they're going to sit him a week and see if there's any way that they can pull off a win here. And if they can, then maybe they have the luxury of sitting him another week. But if they end up losing this game to the Rams, then oh boy.
Okay, if he gets ruled out, where does this line close?
One?
For both you guys.
Pick. Yeah, pick. One. Something around that. By the way, the only other quarterback news, Bryce Young out for the Panthers. It will be Andy Dalton going for the Panthers in their game against the Seahawks. Your favorite total, you are taking the Chargers Vikings over. This was like the look ahead on this was like 49.5. Yeah. You still got 51 on this.
Yeah. And it rolled all the way through that. Yeah. So we talked about this last week.
Yeah, we're talking about right here.
We talked about this last week. Like this Vikings team, the first thing I'm going to do every week, who are they playing? Is this an over situation? And this just screams over all day long for me in this game. And even at 54, there's a 53.5 out there, so like even at that, I would not be playing the under. It'd still only be an over, and we'd move on from there. Because
the Vikings to you are what Wishnev used to do with the Bucks that one year, where he just kept betting them over every single game, and the market just wouldn't adjust.
Because the offense is good enough to always put up points against anybody, and the defense has such a horrible pass rush that you are going to give these guys time to throw all day long, and then guys that are competent, specifically a guy like Herbert, is going to be able to take advantage of it. I mean, I think that this game is a track meet. I've heard some people come in with reasons why they like the Vikings, reasons why they like the Chargers. I actually won't. I think the variance in this game, the range of outcomes, is just absolutely so incredibly massive that you can't get a bet on me from a side aspect. But we just want points, and I think that they go up and down the field, left and right, on this thing. I mean, the thing about the luxury for the Chargers in this game, too, is that they can pick their poison. I mean, there's no good aspect of this Vikings defense, right? Like, you can run against them, you can pass against them, you can do whatever you want. Explosive plays, oh, we'll give you those as well. So they can do anything they want to, which also kind of leads me to the other play in this game, which is Mike Williams over 59.5 receiving yards. If you kind of look in, Keenan Allen has had the monster games for them, but if you look last week, sneaky target share for Mike Williams last week. He ended up getting over 30% of the target share, and so this is a guy that is still getting looked at. Yes, there are lower percentage throws to a guy like Mike Williams than they are to Keenan Allen, but you get a defense, like I said, that gives up explosive plays left and right. That's what he's known for. I'm getting 60 yards here. We can probably get that home in two catches, you know, in a realistic world, right? So I really do like that a ton.
Over 59.5 receiving yards from Mike Williams, and you took the over in Tua's passing yards in the Dolphins game.
Yeah, and this is strictly because I think the number's just a bit depressed because of the Waddle news. I think this would be closer to 270 if Waddle was definitely going to go, and it looks like he's probably not going to go. But this is just me trusting in that offense and trusting in McDaniel to be able to scheme up, you know, whoever it might be. I mean, he's still going to get the ball to Tyreek Hill, and then outside of that, whoever else they decide to kind of make the true number two in this, he's going to be able to do it. I mean, this is an offense that until proven otherwise, I'm going to be backing week in and week out, some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
All right. We'll get your favorite teaser play, who you would play in Survivor as well. We'll go through my picks, and you can poke holes in all my picks too. You can be like,
or love them.
You can love on them if you want.
Love them.
Poke holes, love on them. We'll see. It's a numbers game. All Football Friday, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander's Kelly Bidlin. Matt Brown joins us on a numbers game here live from Bar Canada at the D here on a Friday. By the way, Kelly, yesterday we were over at Circa. There were some tech issues behind, and we're back at Bar Canada at the D. Shout out to Ken, who's back in town, to Dez, who's working hard. Dez has got better things to do, believe me.
Yep.
She's got better things to do. And obviously Isaiah Von Wrinkel, who's always, you know, key in all of this, and Miles, who was running point guard. I don't know what he was doing, but I'm just going to say he was running point.
I think that's a good description.
Yeah, I think he was running point.
Ken, I'm pretty sure, just got off a plane from Boston.
He did. Take care of everything.
Went right to fixing problems back here. Yeah.
None of that has anything to do with our glee for being over there yesterday. The two things are separate, so we appreciate everything that they have done. As Kelly and I were just rejoiceful. It was like, you know, when you do the Alcatraz tour, and they said that the inmates, they could not only see San Francisco, they could hear them partying, that we got to see San Francisco.
I didn't know that was a part of the tour. What torture.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
They could hear the people partying in the streets.
That would drive me insane. I wouldn't have lasted a day in Alcatraz. Oh, my God.
That was the whole
You're sitting there the whole time thinking how badly you need a drink, and then you hear people partying.
You're
like, come on, that's a problem.
Stuck here, and now you get to see what these people get to do.
You can
all
drink the toilet alcohol, the toilet wine.
I would make great toilet wine. That's how I'd survive in prison. Yep.
Okay, here are my bets. These are also going to be my contest plays, but I actually have bets behind these as well. Circa numbers might be like a half point different than these that I made bets on. But again, for like the, I don't know if it's the third straight week, but it's definitely the second straight week, where, Matt, I race to bet something, right? Because I'm guessing lines. I'm like, oh, my God, this line can't be there. It's the opposite of, like, getting huge CLV in tennis. Here, it also just stares me in the face all week, or actually goes against me. I'm like, oh, smarty pants. Mm-hmm. The Lions went down to 3 anyway. The Dolphins never got past 7, right? I thought in both cases, I was like, the Lions are never going to get to 3. It was 4.5 when we were doing it, or I guessed 4.5, I guess, on guessing lines. It got to 3.5 shortly thereafter. The Lions are only 3-point favorites at Atlanta. Dolphins, I laid the 6.5. I already mentioned, you know, not only could I have better at 6, but I also don't love that bet anymore. The Patriots has become my favorite bet of the week at -2.5 against the Jets. I just think Belichick against Zach Wilson is the mismatch that the Patriots are looking for to take out all their aggression, all their frustrations after weeks 1 and 2. There's my commodes pick. And then I did play the Seahawks at -6. I don't know that I'm happier that it's I don't know that I'm happy that it's Andy Dalton. I would have preferred Bryce Young.
Me
now,
too.
Quite
yeah,
frankly.
Me too.
Well, I don't know if it's going to matter who's out there,
it
because if you saw how ridiculously covered every single wide receiver was this past week, they just don't have any dudes, right? They don't have anybody that can get open. They don't have anyone that can do anything. So I think whether it's Andy Dalton or whether it's Bryce Young, or you could stick Tom Brady back, it wouldn't matter, I don't think, in the grand scheme of things, because they just don't have anyone that can get open. So I actually like that one. Seriously considered that one as well in there. And yeah, on the Patriots, I think picking on the Jets at under a field goal at any given situation is pretty good at this point.
Doesn't that feel like to you, though, like Bill Belichick against Zach Wilson, like that could just be pure hell for Wilson?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And listen, the other, we were talking about like dudes, right, and having dudes. You look on the Jets side, like the Jets catered this offense around Aaron Rodgers. They brought in Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb all these dudes.
His guys.
That, like, yeah, these are not true number twos and number threes in the NFL, but it's like he knows exactly what Alan Lazard's going to do, and he knows exactly what Randall Cobb's going to do, and they've got that whole chemistry and all. Zach Wilson does not have that with these guys. So it's like it's Garrett Wilson, and then who? Who's next, right? There's nobody, right? These are league average guys or below average guys at this point. Randall Cobb, you know, on his last leg. He even talked about in Hard Knocks. He was thinking about retiring until Aaron Rodgers said, oh, let's come do it, you know, like one more time.
He's the perfect example, right? Yeah. I mean, like Randall Cobb, like, cool. If you're with Aaron Rodgers, like he's a guy that like Aaron Rodgers knows exactly where you're going to be at, you know, and all that. With Zach Wilson, you're just like a 33-year-old sort of washed up slot receiver. Like,
Randall
what are we
Cobb might even have gone home many times and said to his loved ones, boy, I can't believe I'm locked into this season now. Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, my leg hurts. Cap strain.
Yeah. No, Gil, I don't hate, I mean, we're Oppo on the one, but I don't hate any of the other ones. I mean, listen, on the Lions side of things, this is one of those deals where if you can't get it done against this Falcons team, who, by the way,
yes,
on the offensive side of the ball, again, just looks completely inept. Like, Desmond Ridder does not look like he knows what he's doing at all out there. If you can't get it done against them, then you're not a true contender, right? Then you're not. If you can't get 100%. It done by a field goal, then at least we know who you are now moving forward.
It was. I think I used that line at the Cowboys week one on a Sunday night where I'm like, if you are as good as you're supposed to be, you're supposed to win this game handily. They ended up winning 40-0. That not only does that apply to this game, Matt, because I agree with you. If the Lions, if you're as good as you say you are, you should be able to cover this no problem. But it's also the recency bias play of the week. In the same way that I played Seattle plus the points at Detroit, where I'm like, okay, everybody loves Seattle in the offseason. I mentioned this on the Megapod yesterday. Everybody loves Seattle in the offseason. Then they have this one dud of a game against the Rams, and all of a sudden the Lions are, what, 6-point favorites at home against the Seahawks? I'm like, did you all just forget about your thoughts about them in the entire preseason? Same thing with the Lions here.
Yeah.
Like, the Seahawks and the Lions were everyone's fourth best team. Pick your poison in the NFC. Now all of a sudden they're only 3-point favorites at home against the Falcons. How did that happen? Because you lost the one game?
Yeah, who can't do anything on the offensive side of the ball if it doesn't involve Bijan Robinson. Like that's it. Like, Bijan Robinson's the dude, and he's the one guy, and that's about it. They're not even targeting Pitts. Like, I mean, like, what a waste of a dude, right? I mean, if I was other teams out there, I'd be calling them and say, like, what do you want for him? Like, because they don't even use him in this offense. So I think the other game like this that's along that lines is, okay, all right, Browns, if you are not terrible, like if you are not horrible, then this is it, right? You got Derrick Henry, who's got a toe injury. He's probably going to give it a go, but again, not going to be 100%. He is that entire offense for this Titans team. We've seen already. Yeah, defense is pretty good. Offense is still kind of mediocre, as we've seen. If you are not horrible, Browns, you're at home against this Titans team. The Browns defense, by the way, might end up being,
it's incredible.
Might be a top five
unit when this is all said and done. If you can't go out there and you can't win this game at home against the Titans, then you're a pretender. Like, I mean, like, that's it. Like, you're a pretender.
And it's the ultimate Deshaun Watson test, right? Because the Titans have been pretty good up front stopping the run. Okay, you don't have Nick Chubb this week. Yeah. Anyways, you're going to have to go out there and throw. That is kind of the deficiency of the Titans defense. So I'm going to be interested to see that one, too. I want to go back to the Commanders Bills one real quick. Because I have a feeling. Look, I don't have a ton of bets this week. I have a feeling Commanders going to end up being a contest play for me. And the way I looked at this was just simply the numbers of what were being dealt a week ago with the Bills and what were being dealt this week, right? Think about it, you're laying 8 at home to the Raiders last week, and now we're going on the road and laying 6, 6.5 to the Commanders. That just doesn't add up to me. Commanders are a much better team we're talking about, and you're still there's that small of a number difference from at home to going on the road with this kind of game. I don't really get that. That's probably where I'm leaning to the Commanders side, even though I don't love it, but I think the numbers there just don't add up.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the injury report for the Bills has that bet not near as attractive to me now. I mean, you've got James Cook missing practice. Like, Jordan Poyer, they're saying maybe that was just a rest thing, but Micah Hyde was a hamstring. I mean, he's a very important part of that secondary. Leonard Floyd was an ankle. I mean, there's a lot of beat up dudes on that Bills side now, which makes that bet less attractive.
Rapid fire here. Yes. Your favorite teaser, two leg 6-point teaser is?
Yeah, Ravens Jags. I mean, I know it's the squarest one of the week, and it's going to be the one that everyone is on, but I find it very difficult to get to a place in which the Jags lose to the Texans, especially given the Texans injury situation that they've got going on as well. I mean, that's just a mash unit. And again, this Ravens squad against the Colts team that's going to be led by Gardner Minshew, more likely than not. It was a DNP yesterday again for Anthony Richardson. If they can't get it done, I don't know about laying the 8 or 9, but if they can't get it done by at least 2, then that's
I went. I went Jags Steelers is mine.
Yeah. So I played this Jags Ravens one too, and I forget who I heard bring this up. Might have been Adam Chernoff. I'll give him credit. I've been listening to a lot of him this week. So I think the one with this with whoever the Colts run out there, Matt. Okay, Minshew. Okay, Minshew's going to be Minshew. But I think it's a good point about Anthony Richardson of coming off a concussion. If he actually does start somehow and actually plays in this game, he ain't going to be running the ball like he normally is because he can't have the guy go out there out of concussion protocol and run him all over the place. So I'm actually hoping he goes in this game because, okay, force Anthony Richardson to be a pocket passer. I don't think that's going to work out very well.
All in on the Jags and Survivor.
Survivor. That's all my in. Next question.
All in. All three entries on the on
Have
the
you Hex. Done all three same team? Would you do week one?
Commanders week 1 and then Bills week 2.
I have a one entry or two entries with Commander, with the Commanders, Bills. No, they were separate entries. They're different entries.
All in on the Jags.
All in on the Jags.
There's just not a ton of future value with them. If you're going to feel super, super comfortable with them moving forward.
My only question is, do I do all three of my remaining on the Jags, or do I somehow throw a Chiefs one in there as well, if not two? That's what I'm struggling with. Yeah. Struggling, as the great Joe Namath once said.
All of the Jags, baby.
That's what you're doing? Well, you only have one.
Channeling my inner Baba DeLuca. All the Jags.
What could possibly go wrong with that game? No, you're right, though. The Texans injury report gives us some help there. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Matt Brown, everybody. Matt Brown, DK Network. Dan Le Batard is next. We're coming back at VSiN with college football with the Bear.